And so to have married Mr. King of Extreme, yes man guy over here, I guess I just didn't really realize what was happening. So behind my back, Garrett goes in and he tries out.
Chad Powers.
Burdette for the lead. Yes! Burdette with the three. Bullseye! What a shot by Burdette!
He's got his J back, folks, and the eye of the tiger.
This is From the Logo with Jimmer Fredette.
We are here to party, episode 7. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jimmer Fredette. This is From the Logo. Great to have all of you with us for our deep range conversations about life in and well beyond the world of sports, certainly applicable today with our guest. Jimmer, how are things lately, my friend?
Things are going well, you know, just enjoying life. And AJ was great last episode. I have a lot of high expectations for that team, and it was fun to get into his head and see where he's at. Obviously a lot going on with him, but so make sure you go back and check that episode out. AJ was great, but you know, we're going off the grid literally and figuratively today with our guests. And I am very excited to talk. It's no sports related, although we do get a little, I'm sure we're gonna get a little sports in, but other than that, I am excited about this guest.
All right, you know the drill, folks. Our purpose in this podcast is to uplift, educate, and certainly entertain our listeners and viewers. We want all of you to feel even a little bit better after hanging out with us. And today, as Jimmer was mentioning, we're talking with a dynamic duo who excel in a very unique way in their very unique profession. But ultimately, once again, Jimmer, you find out they've got feelings and emotions just like the rest of us.
Yeah, everyone does. And they are just awesome. They're super, super fun. You're going to know who they are. Obviously, they have a big social media following and they traveled all over the world. Just a little teaser there. And it was a great conversation. So excited to talk about it.
Let's pull back the curtain as we get into our opening tip off and our starting lineup today. If you haven't pieced it together already and haven't seen any of the teasers before you're actually watching this episode, well, here you go. Our guest, or guests, I should say today, are Garrett and Jessica G, the bucket list family on From the Logo. Jennifer, let's go.
Yeah. Man, I love these guys. I've been following Garrett and Jessica for a long time. I've known them for a long time, actually, since back at BYU. And we'll talk about that a little bit. But it just an incredible family. They've traveled literally everywhere. I've traveled a lot, and they've been so many more places than me. So I'm excited to hear about some cool stories and just kind of get to know them a little bit.
Also on the podcast today, a very, very loaded edition of The Early Train. It features at least one question that will make any major sports fan think twice about how they're going to answer the question.
Yes.
And in Jimmer's 3x3 update, I ask the following question. Can you even foul out? Is that a thing? Jimmer's going to answer that and do so with some winning vibes thanks to Team Miami. Oh, yeah. It's a winning week, Jimmer.
Let's go.
It's time to flex. Okay. Yes. We're getting right to the early tray. Three top of mind subjects to set the proper pace for a conversation, much like your Jimmer tray would do in any basketball game right after tip off. Okay. Jimmer, I'll ask you every episode. You ready to shoot?
I'm always ready to shoot. Let's get it. It's a fun one today.
Okay. The dish is coming your way. Number one in the early tray. With most of the professional and college sports converging by late October, it's one of the greatest times of year. We're asking the following question, okay? You can choose two premium tickets to one, only one of the following sporting events. So which of these five options are you choosing? Okay, you get one, Jimmer.
This is hard.
Is it A World Series game, teams to be determined? Okay. You don't know the teams. It's just a World Series game.
Okay.
Option B, Monday Night Football featuring your favorite NFL team. Okay.
Love them.
Option C, season opener for your favorite NBA team. You're a basketball guy.
I am.
I believe that you'll carefully consider that option. Okay.
We'll see.
Option D, your favorite college football rivalry game. Doesn't matter. It can be any of your favorite rivalries. Okay, you can go to the Iron Bowl if you want. You get tickets to it Alabama, Auburn. You want to watch that?
Yeah.
Great. Okay.
Okay.
And
great
option
ones.
E, NHL season opener. I'm telling you, hockey in person is one of the greatest spectacles ever if you haven't experienced it. Amazing. NHL season opener, any team you want, brother. Okay. What is your answer to this question? You get two premium tickets to one of those.
It's going to surprise a lot of people that, to be honest with you, the last on that list is the season opener for basketball. That is last on my list. Yes, absolutely. Basketball is fun to watch, but season opener, they don't really care. I've been there. I've been there, okay?
You're jaded.
Those guys,
They
just don't really care. Wait until the season really starts in the end of the year in the playoffs. Then it's fun to watch, right? So that one's kind of nixed off the board.
What if it was a ring ceremony, Jimmer? What if it was an NBA championship ring ceremony season opener? Would that shift your opinion at all?
No. I don't want to see that. Unless I was getting the ring, I don't want to see it, okay? That's the first.
Okay. Okay. So that's the last.
That's the last. It's between two. Okay. It's between two. I've had a difficult situation here. It's between the World Series game.
Ooh. Okay.
And my favorite college football rivalry.
Okay.
It's one of those two for me. And I'm going to have to go with the favorite college football rivalry. That is my number one, two premium tickets. That's what I'm going for. I don't think you guys understand how much I love college football. Like, I keep telling you that I love college football and that I know football. I played football in high school. It is literally my favorite sport to watch. Like, I love college football. It's my favorite sport.
We were hanging out recently at a big-time college football game in Boulder, Colorado. And I wish everyone could have seen the sheer just joy and look of giddiness on Jimmer's face on the sidelines getting ready for, and that's not even a rivalry game per se that we were at, Jimmer, but college football is pure in so many ways.
It is pure. I love it. Like I said, when I smell the grass, right, you walk onto the field and you can smell the grass. Like, I used to feel that when I was playing in the fall, you know, playing football. I just love that. And, you know, the rivalry game that I would want to go see, obviously there's BYU Utah. I'm not going to pick that. I'm going to take that one out.
I've done that.
It's amazing. I want to see Ohio State, Michigan. That's the one that I want to see.
The big game.
That is the game that I want to see. And that would be my answer to this question. What about you?
This is a difficult question on purpose because we wanted to kind of like wrestle with it.
We're going to make it easy.
And we would love all of you to submit your responses, okay? You can do it on YouTube comments. You can respond on our social accounts, on Instagram, on X specifically. What would you choose of the options I just presented? Maybe YouTube's the easiest option if you're watching on the YouTube platform. Okay, for me, Jimmer, I've never been to a World Series game, and it is on my bucket list. I got to find my way to a World Series game. Because there's just something magical about October baseball, and not just any October playoff baseball. You're literally in the most important series any year with the best baseball players in the world. Like, the stadiums just feel like another level of electricity. So that's probably what I would choose.
I get it. I was my second. It's my second choice. I have also not been to the World Series game, but it's something about it. I enjoy watching really high level baseball in person. You know, every pitch matters. Obviously the pitch clock helps. It's going quicker now, but it is really, I love watching baseball games live. So to see a World Series game would be my second choice. So,
yes. And I don't even care who the teams are. I mean, it would be cool if it were like Fenway or
Wrigley
Field with the Cubs. Like, you had
for
an iconic venue as well.
Yeah.
But I don't care. You could give me Guardians, Astro, they're in the same league, but like, say
we get your point, Spence.
Yeah,
we get your point.
You give me any National League team, and they don't have a super historic. It doesn't matter. Like,
doesn't
the
matter.
Electricity is just so special. Okay, question number two, and this is a question actually submitted from one of our watchers on YouTube at Ronward3834. They asked Jimmer if you could have NBA players competing 3x3 for Team USA. Who are some of the players that would fit in the best?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. We answered this a little bit on our live that we had not too long ago, but I want to go a little bit more in depth. Obviously, when you're putting together a 3x3 roster, you don't just want all guys that can score, right? Like, you need to have an actual team, right? Like when you're looking at the five best 5-on-5 teams, you need a defender, you need a guy that can screen the ball or screen well, you need a guy that can roll to the rim, a guy that can rebound, a guy that can score and shoot. So you're looking for a little bit of everything. You need shot makers, though. You need at least two shot makers on the list, right? So Steph Curry comes to mind. He isn't the ultimate shot maker, right?
Yes,
so like,
yes.
So he's a guy, he can shoot off of one foot. The thing about 3x3 is that 12-second shot clock, it comes up quick. So a lot of times you're shooting bad shots. There's not always really good shots there. Sometimes you're forced to shoot bad shots. It's a game of that. So because of that, Steph is great with that. Those, him and Kevin Durant, those two guys can shoot off, be off balance and get their shot off kind of whenever they want to. And they shoot at an extremely high level. And obviously Kevin Durant's 7 foot. So that helps a little bit on the defensive end as well. So you're looking for those two types of guys. Then you're looking for an athletic, super strong defender that can kind of guard everybody. I thought of a guy like Anthony Edwards, who was just an athlete, but if he put his mind to it, he is the best defender on the floor. And I think he would have to have that mentality, but he can also score, right? He can get you buckets. So it's the best of both worlds when you have a guy like Anthony Edwards, another guy like Devin Booker, similar type feel where he can guard, but he can also shoot. He loves playing for, you know, Team USA internationally, those guys. And then LeBron would obviously be incredible. I'm talking just USA guys, right?
Yes.
Like, I'm not talking like, because Jokic would be an amazing, you know, those guys would be, but I'm talking just USA. So LeBron is a guy that can set screens super well. He can roll to the rim, he can shoot, but he can facilitate everything else that's on the floor. And obviously he can get you a bucket whenever he wants. So like a guy like that, who's super smart and understands the game, you know, if you had a Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Anthony Edwards, and a LeBron James playing your 3x3 basketball, I don't think we'd ever lose a game. Right. I don't have, you know, that capability, but that's the type of team you're looking for. So you're getting into my head a little bit. That's a great question. Appreciate
that. All right. Okay. The final of our early tray deals with holidays. Halloween is approaching. You and your wife, Whitney, are going all out with decorations in your yard. Jimmer, my question is, and it's twofold. We'll start with the first. When is the appropriate time to set those decorations up?
Yeah.
Okay. And, well, okay.
You just give them to me both.
Secondly, when should you take them down?
Okay. This is a great debate, right? Like, just people want to know what the deal is here.
Have you fought with your wife about this?
We're actually on this. Well, let's put it this way. On the putting them up, we are on the same page. Taking them down, we are not. Okay. So I want to put them up, and we both want to put them up as early as possible. Like, we almost decided to put our Halloween decorations up on September 1st.
What?
We almost went that far. We were real close to it. And the reason being is because you only got a certain amount of time where you're able to put up these decorations until you got to get them down. We have a lot of decorations, okay? It takes a lot of time. I'm not taking them, putting them out, and then taking them out in a week, right? Like, no, I am putting them out there so people can see them for a long time. We can enjoy it for a long time. But September 1st is a little wild because it is pretty.
September 1st? Give me until at least after Labor Day.
I know, I got you. It's a little warm, okay? So we decided to wait until a little bit afterwards, okay? So I do all of that for Christmas. November 1st, as soon as Halloween's up, Christmas is over. November 1st, Christmas goes up, right? The question is, when do you take them down? So I personally would love to let them stay up for a while. I would like them to linger, right? Back in Glens Falls, where I grew up, I used to tell my parents, be like, you do not take those things down until February. Like, I am staying the whole month of March, you know, go until my birthday, which is February 25th. Like, I'm trying to, it's dark, it's winter. I don't feel the joy after Christmas as much as you would. I'm trying to keep it up as long as I possibly can. Whitney, absolutely not. January 1st, those things are coming down.
Really?
They are coming down. January 1st, clean slate, new year. We're into the, 2026. Those things are coming down. That's how she feels. Okay. So we definitely differ on that side, but we want to put them up as quickly as we can.
I'm going to give you my quick answers. As far as Halloween decorations go, the correct answer and the only correct answer, Jimmer, is the final week of September into the first week of October. Okay.
We don't have that.
And then, 48 hours after Halloween is over. Okay. It's on, it's on to Thanksgiving. Okay.
Yeah.
It's on.
People
are listening to Christmas music on November 1st. You can't have Halloween decorations up and be listening to Christmas music.
I agree with you on that. So we're on the same page on that for sure. We're on the same page right away. We're going right into Christmas. I mean, we do Thanksgiving, obviously, but it's still Christmas decorations. That's just how it works.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Okay. We're going to continue this. Okay. I'm not kidding you. Like, we're going to continue this conversation. We're going to drag it on to the next episode because we need to get into the Christmas dynamics and the Christmas music conversation. We're approaching that time. It's not that far away. We need, this is a critical, crucial conversation that we're going to have. All right. That is the early tray. And oh, did we deliver from the logo. Let's take our first break. When we come back, the Bucket List family takes on the Full Court Press. How did those two meet? How did the Bucket List family even become a thing? And what the heck does Walmart have to do with all of this? Hey, and From the Logo with Jimmer Fredette continues. You don't want to miss it.
If you or your business are looking to reach a wide audience, From the Logo with Jimmer Fredette will help you reach your goals. Whether you're interested in title sponsorship, segment sponsorship, or product placement on the podcast, email us at jimmerftl@gmail.com and let us help you shoot your shot.
Welcome back to From the Logo with Jimmer Fredette. It is time for the Full Court Press with our VIP guests, and they are a multifaceted dynamic duo in the world of social media, specializing in traveling, adventure, and of course, next level parenting. They sold most of their belongings to fund their initial travels and began creating content for a now wildly popular blog all across social media. They are Garrett and Jessica G, also known as the Bucket List family. Welcome, hey. Garrett and Jessica.
Yeah, let's go.
Thanks for having us. We're really excited to be here.
I hope that introduction was good enough. If not, we'll go back and we'll fix it in post. All good. But Garrett, let's start with the fact that you played soccer at an elite level at BYU as part of the men's club team. People need to be reminded that you could ball out on the pitch, brother. How's your soccer game these days?
You know what? I am doing everything in my power to just cling on to those glory days, both the past, but also the present. There's a pretty cool thing that's happening right now in my life where, where do we start? Let's just say this. I got an invite to play for a professional team in Tonga. Of all places, in Tonga. There's some backstory there that we can dig into, but I'm going for it. This is my Chad Powers moment.
What is it?
Chad, it's this is phenomenal.
It's
So there's the Club World Cup.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There's the World Cup where countries compete against countries. And then there's the Club World Cup where Manchester United, last year PSG won it. So in the region of Fiji, Samoa, Tonga, New Zealand, Australia, they submit each of their best club teams and they compete. And that region, whoever wins that tournament, will send a team to the Club World Cup.
And they can take three international players. So they
each of those teams could invite.
Knowing his connection with Tonga and stuff. And I think did you have some other BYU buddies?
Yeah. So, I mean, when they said we can bring three people, they had reached out to me and immediately, and it was so funny, it literally came just from a DM from the team captain being like, I know you, your story, your backstory, your game. I would like to invite you to play. I don't know if you've still got any juice in those legs. And I was like, my friend, you're about to find out. I'm all in. So I immediately, I feel bad. No, I actually don't, but I just kind of took, I was like, okay, a few things I need to know is, yes, I'm in. Do you have a sponsor for your jersey? Because I also want to be that. And then those other two players of the three international spots, do you have the other two players? If not, can I recruit them? So I just went all in on this experience. So
it's in January in Samoa.
The tournament takes place in Samoa. I'll be playing for Team Tonga. I'm so stoked.
That is absolutely amazing. I got to dive into this for a second. So what is the training regimen then right now? Right? Because haven't been in sports for a while. So because of that, I want to know what your training, do you need a trainer? I'm available now. I retired. You need someone. What do we got here?
Amazing. I'm for sure not going to say no to that offer. Yes to that. I'm one of those guys that gets out of bed every day ready for the call. So
yeah.
And he's finally been called. Congratulations.
I finally got the call.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, right as of now, the training regimen is surfing every morning. Yep. And then,
clear the mind.
Yep. And then we play co-ed soccer once a week, and then here in a men's league.
I'll say, because anywhere we've lived or traveled, I play in, you know, whatever men's league, rec league is there in the area. And I'll say Hawaii's got a really good soccer scene going on. Honestly, for good and for bad, I kind of think that like most players here that could go on and play like next level soccer, whether it's college or pro, whatever, they kind of get stuck on the island. There's kind of a thing where it's hard to get off the island if you're a young person here. So there's really good talent that could or should be playing elsewhere, but they're just stuck in here in the men's league with me. So it's actually like a pretty high level of soccer. They're definitely like younger than me and running, you know, to the max. And it's full filled 90 minutes. So like I play, you know, twice a week and we'll see how it goes at the next level.
Okay, a couple of things there that we really need to dissect. One, you mentioned Chad Powers, and Jimmer and I were just on an Instagram Live where his jawline was being complimented and compared to Glenn Powell.
Hey, so... No, it's way off, way off. I'm excited about Chad Powers, though.
Absolutely.
We watched it for the first time just last night.
We were rolling. It was pretty funny.
Okay, good.
Okay, I'm glad to hear. Okay, and secondly, Jess, because you are the pseudo-trainer for Garrett, makes me wonder, were you a high-level soccer player as well? Yeah. Is this something we don't know about you?
No, I am the jack-of-all-trades, master of none. I am literally competent at almost every sport because I played it growing up, but didn't have like my sport. I actually got called up last week. One of my best friends here, she played college basketball and she's like, we're down a man coming.
She played in like the island.
Basketball since I was 12. And wow. you had no faith in me. No faith. And I
felt bad.
I do.
How did it end up?
No, she did great. So I was shocked. Like I was videoing the whole thing just waiting for like bloopers on bloopers. But she did great. I definitely counted her out. What did I tell you? I was like, I'll give you an hour foot massage after your game if you do one of these three things. And one was like, as the defense is or the offense is coming towards her, I wanted her to get in defensive stance and just slap the floor two hands.
Yes.
Like, give the AAU Colin Sexton like bulldog, like, let's go.
Yep.
The other was I wanted her to just chuck it up from behind the arc and just yell, Kobe.
I did none of them.
And then
you did. I remember.
Oh, it was.
Oh, if she makes the three, I wanted her.
Yes, yeah.
Let the Carmelo Anthony.
Yes. Let him know. Let him know.
Chuck it up, yell Kobe, and whether it goes in or not, just
Kobe.
That it.
I did none of those, but I did have a lot of rebounds. So I was pretty proud of myself.
She kind of went Rodman on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was about to say, you when you haven't played in a while, the skill, you know, it comes and goes. But the effort, you can always have effort. And that's what I tell everybody. That's what my dad used to tell me. And then I was like, you know what? Effort is great, but I just want to make shots. Like, that's just what I want to do. So, Jess, we would have been a perfect team, right? You do all the dirty work.
That's fine with me. Ball, I'll just get the ball, pass it to you. We're golden. That's literally
Yeah, absolutely.
Just sign me up for Enix 3-on-3. I'm in.
I'm ready. I gotcha. So on that note, though, how did I know you guys both? I think you both went to BYU, but how did you guys meet? How did that happen? What was that origin story?
We actually met on our missions in Vladivostok, Russia. Serving out there, we worked a little bit together, taught an English club, and then came home. And he had a girlfriend. I had a boyfriend. And we just started hanging out, you know, kind of after a mission, you just want to talk and hang out with people from your mission. And that's what we did. And both of those relationships fizzled on our sides. And he asked me out on a date. And it was really weird because, you know, it's so like taboo to.
Did I ask him out? Mission.
Actually, we had a mission buddy who was like, I want to take a girl out on a date. You guys should come.
Like, let's double.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, who would we go with? He's like, you guys just go with each other. And we both kind of did the like, ooh, I don't know about that. That's.
And went out on a date and just hit it off, and the rest is history. So,
okay. Well, in the spirit of, because do people still speak fluent Russian?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's generous.
Somewhat fluent.
Yeah. We're good at, we're decent at Russian.
I need you to gauge this. I need you to gauge this. I was working on this with my good buddy, Yegor Dioman, who played basketball for BYU.
Yeah.
He made fun of me endlessly, but I got a couple of phrases. Okay.
Oh,
number one is, Я люблю говорить по-русски.
I love to speak Russian too. Well done.
Good.
Hey. Okay.
Wow.
And then I think this one is, this is the one he rolled his eyes at me. He's like, don't ever say that again. Okay. Okay. Как вы поживаете?
Hey, I'll say your accent's better than mine.
Really not bad. Those are hard phrases to learn.
Spence, where is this coming from? Like, so, well, I've known you for a long time. You know Russian? Like,
what? I do.
What is going on?
I know very select phrases. So I taught at the Missionary Training Center for 4 years, and we had to learn how to teach our respective languages better. And the trainer that was helping us do that happened to speak Russian. And so this tells you he was a good teacher, because I remembered the phrases that he taught to me. Okay. Not important, but I'm glad that we got that out of the way. Did not know that you met on your missions, and glad that you got through maybe that awkward first date. But Jess, did you always have a thing for soccer players, or was that kind of something that you had to embrace at a later time as well?
I mean, I played a lot of soccer growing up. I did some soccer players in high school and stuff, but no, it's kind of turned into the family sport. It's one of the things, like, I wish I had kept up with it growing up, because it is such a huge part of our life. But I mean, Garrett and I, well, there's a really fun co-ed league out here in Hawaii, and we still play together. And every soccer day, we call it Soccer Saturday, because it's just literally running around from kid to kid to kid to parents at night for our game. So soccer is the family sport.
Okay, it is fun. It's fun that, like, well, we watch the kids in the mornings, and then the evenings they come and, like, watch our game. It's a pretty big part of our parenting style to show them, like, hey, we're continuing to be, like, young, active, and chase our passions.
Oh, love that. And maybe I'm going to start a huge debate here, but we have to do it because Jimmer and I have been talking about great duos in sports. Are you team Messi, or are you team Ronaldo, or is this a split family decision here?
I feel like we're Messi, aren't we? Oh, jeez.
No, I will say, if anyone ever says Messi is the GOAT, like, nothing but respect. And I think that is the better argument. But just based off my playing style, I play much more Ronaldo.
No, you don't.
And so that's kind of the family vote.
That's
love it. No, that's great. Ronaldo, Messi, it's hard. It's hard to go against either, but that is awesome. So I know, obviously, playing sports at a high level, I'm just curious of how that's helped you guys in your entrepreneurial and your business ventures that you have started. Obviously, you know, Garrett, you started a business a long time ago, you know, but being a sports person myself and getting into business, there are certain parallels that do help. I'm just curious of your thoughts on that.
Man, 100%. I was talking to my buddy in the gym just yesterday, and I was like, it's crazy how when I'm around somebody who just didn't play sports, that there's certain pieces of their, like, character that are lacking or missing. And it's just everything from, like, teamwork and camaraderie, but then also, like, not competitiveness in such a terrible way, but competitiveness of, like, I see and understand the task, and I'm like, I'm going to get it done. And I'm not going to make excuses, and it might be hard, but I'm going to find a way to get it done. Like, that is sport, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm super grateful for everything I've learned from my time in sports. And it greatly has carried over into my business life.
You know, back when we had just gotten married, I'm going to share the biggest fight that we've ever had in the last 16 years of marriage.
Yes.
And we had just gotten married. We were living in Provo, going to school. I had, I think, maybe one more semester. I was working full time. I was just like, okay, well, like, let's get married. Let's get our gubs. Let's move on with our lives. Garrett came to me and said, and he was what, maybe a freshman or a sophomore, and said, I want to play soccer. And I was like, no way, Jose. Like, you got to have a job. Go work. And
I didn't get recruited at high school.
Right.
And so my only chance was to go try out and hopefully be a walk-on to the BYU soccer team.
So I just said no. I was like, no, don't go play. Like, I'm working. You need to work. Like, provide for your family. I will make this caveat. Like, I grew up in, like, a very, like,
traditional
family, right? Like, that was, this is what you do. And so to have married Mr. King of Extreme, yes, man, guy over here, I guess I just didn't really realize what was happening. So behind my back, Garrett goes in and he tries out.
Chad Powers.
But in disguise, too. He had a disguise on when he did it, so Jess can't see me.
He cries out for soccer, and I was livid. I was so hurt that he just
went. Can I say what you said, what your response was? Because like I truly did like sneak out and go to day one of tryouts. Maybe I even tried out the whole thing without you finding out. And then I remember coming home and like telling you the bad news. I was heartbroken that I did not make it. I got cut on the final right. day of tryouts. Ugh. And I go back home to our apartment and I was like, hey, I tried out. And her response that it was like, so what does this mean? Do you want a divorce? We had been married like 3 months. Like
5 minutes.
Yeah.
I was like, this is it. This is how we end. Because he's going to fuck her over me.
And I remember being like, she's crazy.
But this is what happened. Over the next few, I mean, it was probably over the next 6 months, you worked really hard at soccer. You worked really hard, like, on your businesses. And I just saw that passion and love that you had and, you know, eventually got behind it. And, I mean, that's one of the few times where I would say that Garrett was 100% right. Like, those memories of Garrett playing soccer were just the absolute best. Like, I wouldn't take that back for anything. I love the memory, the people we made, and having part of that BYU soccer family was so fun. And I'm glad he did it in the end.
Jeff, did you just say Garrett was right?
It cut out. Could she say that again?
I think we have it recorded.
Could you play it back in slow motion?
We have it recorded for sure. One and only time that will happen. I'm still waiting on Whitney to say it to me.
Clip it. That's okay. The Instagram.
I can relate. I didn't try out for a soccer team, not tell my wife, but I did buy a car and not tell my wife. And I'm still paying the price for that today.
Yeah.
But, you know, she'll still bring that up. I'm like, that was 20 years ago. Really? Still? Hey, all good. Fantastic stuff. The bucket list family is with this on From the Logo. Okay, you brought up the businesses, Jess, that Garrett was involved in. And obviously, you two are quite the tandem and you're very, very integrated in everything that both of you do. So going back to those formative years, a question for both of you, what was it like to venture out into the business world with something that you felt was going to be hugely successful? Garrett, we'll start with you.
Oh, goodness. I will actually kind of like correct one of those statements because we didn't think it would be hugely successful.
Oh.
I mean, when we started, because the first business venture when I was in college that kind of, you know, found success was an iPhone app I created called Scan. And to emphasize that, we did not think it would be successful. I wanted to get into the business of creating and designing iPhone apps. And I had a long list of ideas that I thought were fantastic ideas, but I didn't know how to do it yet. So I was like, here, I'm going to start with like my worst idea, a barcode scan app, just because it was the quickest and easiest. And I'll use that one as like my training grounds. I'll teach myself how to do it on this app. Then I'll get to my good ideas. And that terrible idea ended up taking off, doing really well, got 100 million downloads. And that's eventually the one we sold to Snapchat.
Obviously, you did go on to Shark Tank as well. So I'm curious about that experience. I'm a big Shark Tank fan. Like, I've watched it. Like, when I was in China, we had 7 months where, you know, I was over there by myself. It was during COVID and I watched every episode like 3 times, right? So I am a big fan of Shark Tank. I want to hear about the real Shark Tank. What was that experience like? And, you know, meeting the people, and was it intimidating?
We had one of my investors, because I had raised money before going on Shark Tank. And one of my investors, his name's Chris Redlitz of Transmedia Capital. He was really well connected, honestly, just with the entire world, but with the creators of Shark Tank. And they had come to him saying, we've been kind of like gimmicky products and businesses up until this point, and we want to up the standard and reputation of the show. And so do you have any portfolio companies that might be open to raising more money, more importantly, coming on the show? So he sent me there. And the nice thing was I got to forego like not the entire casting process, but like the majority of it.
You passed the majority of the casting.
It was really, I mean, I'm going to get these numbers wrong, but like the best to my memory, it was something like where they get like 20,000 online auditions every year.
Yeah.
And then they would select like 600 of those to come and audition in person in like their city tour. And then of those, they would have like 100 come to LA and like meet the producers. And then the next day, the amount that went on camera was like 40. But of those 40, only like 10 were going to like actually make it onto television.
So we didn't know if he was going to be on after he had filmed it.
Right.
And everything. We didn't know if he was even going to get aired. Right.
Yeah. And they don't tell for you sure. until 2 weeks before it actually like hits on TV. So you can hurry and like get your ducks in a row and everything. But it was so cool to like, at that stage, we didn't need the money. But like right. Jess said, I'm quite the yes man. I'm always up for a new experience in life. And so I just said, yes, let's do this. And I thought going into it like, oh, it's going to be cool, win-win situation for me because I don't need the deal. But then I'm also competitive. So when I was like in the moment there on stage in front of the Sharks, I wanted nothing more but to do a deal with them because just for the competitiveness of it.
Yeah.
So I was pretty heartbroken when the deal did not go through. Not even like if you watch my episode, they didn't even get into negotiations. Like
right.
it was just kind of like we met and I gave my pitch. They gave some feedback, asked some questions, and then one by one they all said, I'm pass, I'm out. And I was devastated. Fun fact, when you walk off stage, the first thing they do, like they have their little like movie star trailer for the day set up for you, and you go in, there's literally a therapist there waiting for you to like talk you off the ledge and be like, it's okay, you're gonna really? Be fine. Your business is fine. And they had told me wow. like that would be prepared for me afterwards. And I was like, I'm good. Like, I don't
know. Yeah, we're fine. Yeah.
Afterwards, I was devastated. I was like, no, my life is over. My business is over. I failed. And she had to like talk me off a ledge. She was great.
Wow. Well, they knew what they're doing. They know what they're doing on that show. Well, yeah. I watched the episode. I was very disappointed. And obviously, they were wrong, right? They were wrong. So I'd love to see that.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, I want to go back to the scan because you said, well, we didn't necessarily need the money. Scan had obviously done very well. How did you get to the point of exit with that and decide like now is the time for me to give this away? I believe it's to Snapchat, right?
Yeah.
It was one of those just timing worked out to our benefit. And we weren't planning to sell. You know, when you build a company, you build it for the long run. At least that's what you should do. And one day we got an email that said from Evan at Snapchat.com.
CEO.
The CEO. And he said, hey, I like what you're building. If you're ever in LA, I'd love to chat. And Garrett, again, being a yes man, just responded like, that's coincidental. I'll be there on Monday. And he was like, great. Let's go do lunch. So Garrett booked a flight.
Yeah, it was a lie. I wasn't planning to be there.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
When opportunity knocks, yeah.
Yeah, and you had to like go online and double check, oh, this is in fact Evan's email address. And then you went out and met with him in Venice.
Yeah, so their office is there on the beach. He and I went for literally an hour long walk along the beach, him asking me about our technology, about our stats, like everything. I was an open book. I like no NDA. I was just spilling everything, knowing like this is my shot. He nowhere in the email or the conversations had he mentioned like potential acquisition or any of that. But like he's not looking for a nice stroll along the
beach.
You
knew what was going on.
I knew what was going on.
You knew what was going on.
I knew when I'm being courted. So I was just an open book and gave him everything he wanted to hear. And at the end of that walk, he's like, by the way, would you ever consider selling your company? And I lied to him a second time and I said, no, I'm in this for the long run. I want to build it to last forever and for always. But if I were to ever sell it, I'd want it to be to a cool company like Snapchat. He's like, oh, well, then we should talk. So we actually went into his office and there was a lawyer already ready. Like ready to go. The lawyer literally was like, so did you guys decide on a price? And I was like, oh. And Evan asked me, he said, how long have you been working on your business? How big is your team? And how much money have you raised? Told him those three things. And off the cuff, like right then and there, he's like, how about 40 million? And I was just like trying to keep my best poker face because at that stage, like I said, from the get-go, if you were to go back when we started it, me and my like, college buddies that created it together, we had drawn up this paper where we listed our goals and we wanted to get 1 million downloads and somehow make $5,000. That was our freshman college minds being like, let's go big, $5,000. Obviously, once we raised money and it was doing much better, our vision grew. And at that stage, had Evan asked me the number, I knew in the back of my head, I need to sell this for $12 million at least for me personally to become a millionaire. So I can pay my investors and team members.
Right.
And for me to become a millionaire, this needs to sell for at least $12 million. But if you would ask my like lofty number, my dream goal would have been like maybe $20 million. So for him to come out the gate with $40 million, I was definitely like fireworks inside. But I think I kept it pretty cool. So I told him, I said, that sounds pretty good. I'm going to have to talk to my team, can I get back to you? And I remember his response was, yeah, take your time, but I want to have this done by the weekend, so call me later today. I was like, all right,
wow,
let's go. And thus began like 3 days of crazy negotiations. I was completely new to everything. Luckily, I had a really good legal team. Larry Chu of Goodwin Partners was my lawyer that just guided me brilliantly through that process. And
I need to jump in and say that at this time, I was 9 months pregnant. We had just decided we were going to move to BYU Hawaii to play soccer for a season out there. That was the plan. So,
jeez.
Garrett had this meeting on Monday. We moved to Hawaii on Wednesday.
Whoa.
He flew back to LA to like have meetings and stuff on Thursday. And then you got to tell them about the soccer thing.
Well, because I'd been recruited to go play BYU Hawaii when they said their soccer team. And so I just remember, again, 9 months pregnant. And what are the dorms there called? TBA or something?
Yeah, TBA. It's the worst.
It's like no air conditioning, the hot, humid Hawaiian air. Yeah. And she's 9 months pregnant.
9 months pregnant.
Wearing as little clothes as possible, trying to like cool off. I felt really bad. Meanwhile, I am on negotiation calls all day long. And I remember I would just come up with whatever lie. Like, honestly, I think I used you. I was like, hey, my pregnant wife is going to a doctor's appointment. I'll be back in 2 hours. And then I'd blitz to soccer practice, go to soccer practice. And as soon as it was done, I was sprinting back to my phone to get on more negotiation calls. And it was that way like this entire week. And then finally, the deal hadn't been negotiated, the deal to $44 million for this acquisition. And I remember me and two of my teammates and my close buddies were in Walmart grocery shopping. And I get a call from Evan, phone call. And he's like, hey, as of now, the deal is for you to play your final season, senior season of soccer there at BYU, and then come join our company, come join Snapchat in 3 months. He's like, I don't want to wait that long. If you come join me next week, I'll give you $10 million more. So $54 million total. And I'm taking that phone call and I said, thank you for the offer. I'm going to stay and play soccer. Let's keep the price at $44 million. And I hung up. And that was just me, like, honest, like, it sounds weird to say it out loud, but that was just me, like, speaking from the heart. That's what felt right. And so I told him that on the phone. I call my partner, my business partner, and I tell him like, oh, we just got the craziest offer from Evan, and told him about it. And he's, thank goodness he's patient and knows my heart well, because he's like, Garrett, he didn't get mad at me. He's like, Garrett, you got to remember that money's not all yours, but like, that's going to impact all of them. As soon as he said it, I was like, oh shoot, I've made a terrible mistake. Say no more. I'm going to fix it. So I call back Evan. I think this is now the third time I've lied to Evan in this story, but I said, Evan, as soon as I hung up, I felt too excited to come join you in Snapchat. If the offer's still on the table, I'll quit soccer. I'll see you next week. And he goes, deal. So it closed at $54 million. We sold it to Snapchat. But I will say, like, the moment I had that, my buddies who were with me at Walmart literally said they saw my, like my posture just kind of like sink. And I can still remember like the feeling, my heart just sank. And it felt like the literal shackles around me, like my freedom of life had been stripped. And it sounds weird. Like, obviously, we had this life-changing acquisition, all this money. But I'm just saying, like, that's what it felt like inside.
Wow. Yeah.
And it was me making a decision because what I felt like was the right thing to do, not what my heart wanted to do. But that was the situation at hand.
Well, and, you know, I don't know if you thought you were messy and needed a $10 million season to be why, but... Yeah, it was one of those things where you're like, I have the rest of my year, my life to work. I have this one last season to play. And
that's a good point. That's how I would try to explain it even today. That like, how different is your life going to be from $44 million to $54 million? Like, what's that difference going to be? Versus all the money in the world cannot buy back your youth. Or in this case, your senior season of soccer. And I'm a young guy, I'm entrepreneurial, I plan on working the rest of my life. Like, you know, that's how I would best explain it. But the stars aligned and something crazy actually happened where I went and I joined Snapchat and I'd been working there for 3 months. And at the time I told Jessica, like, hey, plan on this being our lives for the next 2 to 5 years. I don't know, like a cool company, new experience. Let's go.
And in LA, we loved it out there.
And so there was this crazy incident where North Korea hacked Sony and Snapchat's emails and exposed all this stuff, including all the details of like our acquisition.
Which the acquisition was completely confidential. We weren't allowed to tell our families anything. So nobody knew about the acquisition. We just said, oh, we have a new business partner out in LA. We're moving out there to do some partnerships. That's it.
Had sold the company for $54 million and like my own parents didn't know. So when the Snapchat, Sony, North Korea email hacks like happened, then everything went out there. We're on the cover of the Wall Street Journal. Snapchat acquires Utah startup scam from Garrett G for $54 million. And like, bam, everyone in my life knows overnight. And one thing led to another. And it just made me like kind of like step back and look at everything, you know, from a bird's eye view and realize I don't think this is the right thing for me or for my family. Thank you to the good lawyer of Larry Chu. I had gotten everything up front so I could quit my job there at Snapchat and still I got everything from the acquisition. But honestly, it just came down to what I felt like was the right thing for my family, having been there for, I mean, it felt like a long time, but only 3 months. I felt like I knew the right decision.
You can tell that after 3 months of working for somebody else, of being at a corporate job, like the life was sucked out of him. So one day we were at church and the BYU women's team came and Coach Watkins at the time was there and he, you know, came and said hi.
It was my coach at a men's team.
And basically just said, hey, Garrett, like, if you come back, your spot's still there for you. And immediately I'm like, oh, coach.
Maybe
Whitney can relate to this. You know, like I spent, maybe I've been married 4 or 5 years at the time, just following your husband around. We moved to San Francisco, we moved to Utah, we moved to Hawaii, we moved to Utah, we moved to LA. You know what I mean? Like just following them around. So, but at the same time, I could see, you know, his creativity and his passion for life in this corporate job just fading. And so that's when the, you know, the agreement came and Garrett said, just let me go back to BYU, play one more season.
But the way the timing had played out is the 3 months while I was at Snapchat was basically the preseason.
Yeah.
And so when I saw Coach Watkins, my head coach, he goes, the season doesn't start till next week. If you come back, like there's a spot for you. And I was like, tell me if you're serious or not, because I just like this week quit my job at Snapchat and I'll have that conversation with Jessica if you're serious. And he was serious. And so
yeah, so the agreement, Garrett had said, I understand you've followed me all around. He said, give me one more season and then you choose what's next. And I was the one who said, I want to do a little bit of traveling.
Wow. Well, so, that is amazing. Yeah,
moved back to Utah and then four months later after the season, took off for a little bit of traveling.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously, like, incredible story, by the way. Like, just so cool to be able to see that. Obviously, like you said, I have had a relatable, kind of a very much more relatable story to that. Like Whitney did follow me around for a long time and I had opportunities where I could have gone overseas to play more basketball and offer good money. And I just said no to it because like you said, money isn't everything. It's about how you feel. It's about your relationships, about your family. It's about what's right at that time for you. And I've had to make those tough decisions. So I understand that completely. But now I want to dive into how it started, Jess, right? Like you decided, hey, we're going to do this. We're going to go travel. How did that start? Why do you love traveling? And just give me the origin story of why you wanted to do this.
You know, there were a few places on my bucket list. I really wanted to go to Australia. I really wanted to go to New Zealand. So I just was like, let's just go do a little bit of traveling. We were young, you know, had a bit of money come into our lives enough that if we were stupid, it would be gone super fast, but also like enough money that like it was a huge blessing. So that if we were smart, we could really, you know, go far with it. So anyway, so we decided we also just didn't know what we wanted in life. We were so young. So I thought, let's go learn from the world. Let's go see what's out there. And then this is kind of where like I'm the queen of moderation, Garrett's the king of extreme. And I'm like, oh, let's go on a little bit of travels. And Garrett is the one who says, let's sell everything and, you know, make this like business out of it. And at the time it was kind of the mommy blogger era. It wasn't really the social media timing
right
at the moment. And so Garrett kind of had the foresight to, you know, go. We went to Outdoor Retailer. It was in Utah at the time. And Gary's like, let's just go see if we can get some free product and we'll take some cool photos for people. We're going to all these cool places. Kind of just like that, the very beginning of influencing, if that was because it wasn't really even a thing at the time.
Right.
And so for me, I'd say I was going on a family trip. We had 4 months of travel. We did sell everything, which was totally fine for me because I was like, yeah, let's just start fresh. And we had this nice nest egg back home that we could come back to. And took off on 4 months of travel. Garrett is an avid journal keeper, has been since I met him in Russia. So him posting and sharing and taking videos and photos was super natural, and he was going to do it regardless. And then, yeah, came home. So we left in, what, August 2015, and then came home in December. And much to my surprise, I will say, Garrett probably could have gone on forever, but I was the one who, you know, we both tried to make this decision separately and then come together. Like, do we keep traveling or do we settle down and start something new, which was the plan when we left. And when we came home that Christmas, I was surprised of myself because, again, I'm just like this very conventional, moderate human. And I loved it. I loved living out of a suitcase. I loved spending all my time with my kids. And I loved, you know, exploring new places and cultures. So it kind of then became this challenge of like, okay, we have a little bit of money left. We had sold all our stuff, made about $45,000. We'd agreed we would not touch our savings.
Right.
And then it kind of became this like, okay, like I think this actually might be able to get somewhere. Our timing social media wise was impeccable.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. For real.
It was so good. We had that story too, you know, like early on, millionaire sells everything to travel the world with his family. Like that, that's being in the news back in 2015 with that headline really made our following explode. So yeah, just timing worked out great. Garrett has a beautiful eye for photography and storytelling. My background's in advertising. I studied advertising. And so like knowing to work with brands was also something that came easy to me. So it was just this perfect storm of why I think we've been as successful as we have in social media.
You've built an incredible following, and that's probably underselling it so much. But just out of curiosity, like, how does the following you have now compare to what you initially thought it might become when you started to gain some traction?
You know what I thought just the other day? I remember early on in social media when there weren't a lot of people at the time who had like millions and millions of followers, but I remember thinking like, man, how crazy that would that be to be able to post anything to your phone and immediately reach hundreds of thousands of people. Like, that's crazy. And I remember back when I had that thought, and then just like yesterday, I think it was, it came back to me and I was like, it's pretty cool.
I actually love your question. It's really interesting because social media has evolved so much in the last 10 years. I mean, they're really, we talk about this golden age of Instagram. And that was what, 2017, where whatever you posted, that many people saw it.
Right.
And
you had control over your following.
Yeah.
Or better
that
said,
was it. Yeah.
To us, how we think about it is less about subscribers or followers. To us, it's like, it's a really important thing to build a community. And that's what Jessica's talking about. Like, it's a sad thing when you can build a community and then it's not controlled by you. It's controlled by whatever algorithm or whatever platform that you're on. And so when we say golden era, it's like whenever you can build a community and access, you know, connect with your community, that's social media at its best. Everything else, it just kind of becomes like noise and noise. Yeah.
There's one thing that we're so proud of is that we've created this community of like-minded people. If you came to any event or meetup or something, if you could see kind of, or I mean, go look in our comments for the most part, just the nicest, best humans you'll ever come across, you know, and that, you know, makes me proud of Garrett and I and what we've done and who we are, because like attracts light. So I think that, we've met some of the greatest people through this community. And, you know, if brands, some brands really understand the value that we bring with the quality that comes with our audience.
Yeah, no, totally. I mean, you guys are just, you're good people. You're trying to do good things and that attracts, like you said. And I know you guys are both very faithful people as well. Like, you don't go on a journey like this with having some sort of faith that's involved, whatever that is. So how has faith played into your journey so far?
It's a good question. A lot of ways.
Yeah, lots of ways. But the first thing that comes to my mind is to whom much is given, much is required. If you were to ask me, I am not the type of person to put myself out there at all.
Yeah.
But I've felt the responsibility and that God has trusted us with all of this to put out good, to put out goodness. And I always say you can put out good, bad, or nothing. And I think the normal, the regular, typical Jessica would probably put out nothing. But Garrett has encouraged me, and I think it's been good to say, you know what, it is more important to put out good, you know?
Yeah.
And to be an example of family, of kindness, of love, of culture, of open-mindedness, of all these things that we stand for. It's important to share that with the world for people to be able to turn on YouTube and see a family traveling together.
Yeah. It is interesting. I think if you were to go to our YouTube or our Instagram, I think the first impression is like an adventurous traveling family. But I think the adventure and the travel is kind of like a facade that gets people like interested. Mm. But once they start to watch our content, it's just way more about family and the other values that we represent. And that's something we're super, super proud of. It's, I mean, to each faithful or religious person, like teach their own. There's different ways to go about it, especially in the era of social media. For us, we've decided because so much of our lives online is just publicly out there, we for the most part keep our religion like more like close to home and sacred and like offline. But we are very proud that like if you can go and check your like Google search terms, what people are searching for the most, I think the second most search term is like net worth, but the first one is usually what is the religion of the bucket list family. And we're really proud of the fact that people, like, we're not putting that in front of people, but they're searching for it based on how they see that we live.
So I mean, I think every parent can relate when you see your kids experiencing just joy, whether you're in some exotic location or not, but just like seeing joy in their faces. Like, and I'm broken as a parent. I feel like every time I see my 4-year-old little girl like get giddy, I well up with tears. I'm like, what happened? This is not normal. I didn't used to do this. But like the older I get and the more I experience that, it's a thing. And so I was watching some of your videos and just the joy that are on your kids' respective faces when they experience things. I finally get like, you know, why you go through the trouble and the difficulty of taking them everywhere you go. So how have you been able to balance that?
We love the experiences together as a full family. Like those are our favorite ones. There's a lot of, there's one video that I'm currently editing that was, we went to Mexico earlier this summer and we swam with killer whales together as a family with the small. And like, I don't know if that's ever been done before. And so there wasn't a lot to like go off of. I mean, they're nicknamed killer whales, right?
Yeah, literally.
And so for us to go swim with these orcas was quite the situation. And I remember like, just asking like, are we going to put our kids in the water? And, but everything we do, we love to do it as like a full family adventure. And I'll just say a lot of that is how highly we think of our kids. We think they're just so capable and can achieve so much. And then, it's just like that, like fullness of joy when we do something as a full family, right? Been really special. Yeah.
I've been traveling with my kids all over the place and not nearly as much as you guys have. And I know what type of difficulties that can come with, right? I'm sure there's some nightmare and some stories that you guys have of like traveling where it's just like, oh my goodness, I don't know what we're doing right now, but this is unbelievable. I mean, when you fly to China and something like that happens and you're just like, all right, I don't want to travel ever again, but you guys continue to do it. And it's awesome. And I love that you do it. Just real quick. One of the things that has gone kind of viral recently is you, Garrett, kind of throwing, you know, your son a little bit off the cliff, to go into the water. I want to hear your perspective on it, because I think it's such an interesting thing. I want to hear your perspective of what you thought about that and, you know, about facing your fears and understand they can do things, do hard things. So I would love to hear that.
It's been funny to see how it's really divided people.
Right.
Like, there's just different parenting styles, obviously. And, anyway, I mean, you can explain what happened, but
It's funny. Yeah, like Jess said, for us, it's been more so a lesson of like the state of the world and media, less right. than like what the actual situation was. Because the situation, at least in my mind, was like quite basic, where we're at Lake Powell, and one of the most popular experiences that everybody who goes Lake Powell does is finding a nice spot to do some cliff jumping. And the spot that we were at is you had to like give a solid jump off the edge. Otherwise, if you just like slipped or like didn't jump far enough, it could be potentially dangerous.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm asking my son, like, do you want to jump at all? If you do, I think I should throw you the first time just so you can see what it feels like. But like, you don't got to do it. And so, you know, for me trying to be a patient parent, he was probably up on that ledge, I don't know, like 10 minutes crying, but not crying because I'm like yelling at him, crying because he wants to do this, but he's scared. And so I'm just sitting there by his side telling everyone, like, hold up, wait, like, wait till he's ready. But in the back of my mind, knowing if he's this scared, I don't want to risk him slipping or hesitating and therefore getting hurt. So the first time, I'm not going to let him jump, even though he wants to. The first time, I'm going to toss him.
Well, and you said, I'm going to throw you. And he said, okay,
let's do it.
And you'll see him in the video kind of like nod, like, let's go. Garrett throws.
Said, are you ready? He said, yes. I said, all right. And then as soon as I did, I knew I had to give a pretty good toss and then retract my arms because, again, if he clung to me, like, it could end poorly. And so for me, it was honestly a very beautiful moment. I loved the experience with my son. He was, you know, all smiles afterwards. And that was the first of what, like 20 jumps. After that,
he's just jumping
nonstop. And, you know, he's grateful for that experience. And I'm very grateful for that experience. So we share it. Like, it's not like this, like, gotcha journalism. Like, I posted it. And I shared the full thoughts.
Exactly.
And I even said, like, yo, heads up, this is not for everyone, because I know a bunch of you parents are like weak in the spine, like, don't do this. This is for the more adventurous of spirit. And the media came up with a catchy tagline of like, influencer chucks his child off of dangerous cliff and receives backlash, whatever it is. Luckily for me, like, I'm very confident in the parent that I am, so it hasn't affected me directly. How it has affected me in a roundabout way is when I see so many comments of people just living their life with fear or hate or, you know, whatever in the comment section, I'm like, oh man, I wish your parents would have thrown you off some more cliffs. Like, I wish you would have like grown up a bit more adventurous and brave, because, and this is how Jess and I talk about it. Like, to us, it's not about jumping off a cliff. To us, it's like being brave enough in life to just do the right thing. To be a good person in life, like, requires a good amount of courage. So let's teach our kids that courage in every way possible. Sitting with the kid, lonely kid at lunch, or cliff jumping. Like, it's all the same amount of courage.
Love that.
Wow. I mean, there's a lot to unpack there. And because you have both clearly figured out how social media works better than everybody else, you should probably teach a masterclass on that. I think the world could use it, no doubt about it. But just, we love the insights you've shared thus far. Jimmer and I, because this is our lucky seventh episode of From the Logo.
Hey.
Yeah. Okay, this was calculated. This is calculated. Okay. when we come back, we're gonna take a break. We come back, we have our rapid fire segment where you can just quick answer some questions. We go personality heavy, and we'll continue this incredible conversation with the Bucket List family. Open gym and rapid fire is next when From the Logo continues.
If you or your business are looking to reach a wide audience, From the Logo with Jimmer Fredette will help you reach your goals. Whether you're interested in title sponsorship, segment sponsorship, or product placement on the podcast, email us at jimmerftl@gmail.com and let us help you shoot your shot.
From the Logo rolls on, and we now open things up generally to our listeners and their submitted questions. But again, because today is lucky episode number 7, Jimmer and I want to take our shot. We feel like fortune is on our side. So this is rapid fire in open gym, Jimmer, and I'm going to kick it off. I'm throwing out the first question here.
Okay, go ahead, Swiss.
You two can respond as quickly or as lengthy as you like, but we're going to start with, and this is a loaded question because you've been a lot of places. What's the prettiest place you've ever visited?
New Zealand, hands down.
Wow. That is a quick answer, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's in my pocket.
It was in the pocket. I'm sure you've answered that a lot, but
I'm going to say this, and this is a loaded answer, and a lot of people will need to Google this, but there's an island called Mo'unu Island in Tonga, and I'm saying it for two reasons. One, it's perhaps the most gorgeous favorite place on the planet, and two is we are the new owners of said.
Congratulations! Hey.
Amazing.
Hey, just real quick, Garrett was like, hey, you know, like, I give you a couple options to have this podcast. We can do it on a Zoom, or you can come to our private island and do it. And I was like, we're doing that maybe in like March or April or something. Like, that's happening.
We'll
gotta
have a follow up episode.
Yes, we are absolutely. You guys can ask us questions. That would be perfect.
On Mono Island and talk for sure. Let's do
it. Okay. All right. Oh. I love that. All right, next one here, because I've been with lots of kids traveling as well. Who is your best kid traveler?
I would say I always give credit to our second, Manila. When we left, he was one. Like,
wow. 10 months.
Yeah, traveling with a one-year-old is the worst.
It's so hard.
And
so
like,
hard.
Yeah, that like 1 to 2 years old is probably the worst.
For why we traveled as long as we did, because unlike most other toddler boys, instead, you know, if we'd be an hour-long line at security, he would just stand by my side. Or I could lay out a towel and a pillow for him and I'd be like, go to sleep. And he'd be like, good night.
Wow.
So he was just a really good little boy during those do not fly zones, you know, and he crushed it. He was a great traveler at a very young age. And that's why we were able to, that's why we were as successful as we were.
You're right.
It was interesting because then when we finally settled down and we bought our house here in Hawaii, it was actually a struggle for him for the first like couple of weeks
where he didn't
like to sleep in the same bed two nights in a row. Like he would constantly have to move around or like sleep on the floor because it was more comfortable to him. And then I remember we get in the car and we're driving to the grocery store and he was like, where are we flying to? And like, it was his expectation, like, oh, we're back in a car. We must be going to the next country. And so it was a weird adjustment for him, like coming home.
Man,
wow.
Shout out to Dorothy, Manila, and Callahan for just being troopers through this all.
They're
great
all
job.
Great
job.
They might be taking their first like parentless trip.
Actually,
they're coming soon.
Yeah, they.
Wow.
Credit to them. They're all great travelers, and we're now we keep calling it the pocket. We're in a pocket. No diapers. No teenagers. And
it's great.
Great travelers.
Love that.
Oh, incredible. Incredible. All right. Rapid fire continues with the bucket list family. Jimmer and I are both foodies. We love a good meal. So. What's the favorite meal you've ever encountered during your travels specifically?
Oh, goodness. For me, it's an easy answer. We love the Korean barbecue there
Let's
in
go.
South Korea. You go, and there's so many.
So
of them.
Good.
I don't have a specific restaurant, but honestly, you really can't go wrong. Yep. If somebody can't travel to South Korea, then just look where you can go get Korean barbecue, specifically where it's cooked right in front of you. You're
yes.
just
yeah.
literally
gotta
the
be in front
grill.
Of you.
Best in the world. That's
You're
our
speaking favorite. To my soul, Garrett. I was a missionary in South Korea.
Oh, no way.
That's my jam. I lived in Busan. Yes. Oh, yeah.
You know what? That makes me kind of hate you so much because when we, the Russian missionaries, needed to renew our visa, we
passports
would go
in Korea. Yeah.
to Busan or to Seoul and spend, I don't know, like a week there. And every time we were like, people serve their mission here. It is so clean. People are so friendly.
I believe that God loved me. And then I saw that he sent me to Korea. And I was like, oh, maybe he doesn't love as much as he loves my children.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Oh, Korea for the win. I love it. I love it.
All right. Fourth question here. You guys have visited a lot of countries, obviously. Who has the nicest people?
We do have this list. I'm going to say two places, Fiji and Turkey.
Wow. Interesting. That's really cool to hear.
I haven't been to Fiji.
I've been to Turkey, though.
The most family friendly, like you arrive there and the moment you touch down, some auntie comes, takes your kids and is like taking care of them the rest of your stay. Like so sweet. And then Turkey, Jess is right. Like we went there completely unsure. Like that was our first country, like in that region of the world.
Right.
And we were shocked at how just lovely and kind the people of Turkey are.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I did not know that about Turkey. So interesting little tidbit there. Okay. You obviously embrace or attempt to embrace the culture you know, wholeheartedly wherever you go. So, and that includes wearing some traditional outfits in different places. What's been your favorite experience, maybe your favorite outfit in one of those specific adventures?
Easy.
Yeah. Bhutan. You're going to say Bhutan?
Yeah.
Yeah. Bhutan is a country. It's kind of, you know, in Asia between like Mongolia, Nepal. Yeah.
Okay.
And it looks like you stepped into an Asian fairy tale. They honor their past and their history and culture so much that everyone wears the traditional garb. Like everyone wears it. Nobody's in regular clothes.
You know how you could go to Japan, or if you said like, what's traditional Japanese, yeah, and like the kimono, stuff like that, like, and you would see that, but only in like special occasions, like traditional whatever. No, like everybody there, like the pilot, the doctor, the grocery store, like everyone is wearing their traditional garb. And it's so cool because if you go there as a tourist, on day one, they'll take you to like, it looks more like a fabric store, and they'll outfit you, get you situated, and then that's what you're wearing the rest of the time. So it's so cool the way that they welcome you wholeheartedly. Mm. Like, don't just experience some of our culture, like embrace it and immerse yourself in our culture. And I actually, just personally,
cool,
having traveled, I feel like I can, you know, at least share somewhat meaningful opinion on this, having traveled most of the world, is I wish more countries would do that, because certain traditions or countries that completely just like stay out, stay away, it becomes like kind of taboo. And even if you want to admire and respect their culture, you just kind of keep your distance, like not welcome. Okay, I'll respect and keep a distance from you. Whereas right, the ones that really will like welcome you with open arms, I only see goodness coming to them from that. And it's a beautiful thing where then the rest of the world not only admires you, but like wants to be a part of your world.
Well said.
Yeah, Bhutan absolutely does it really, really well. The whole world can learn a lot from Bhutan.
Absolutely.
That's so cool. That's our last question. Okay, so you guys did great on the rapid fire. Absolutely awesome. I just wanted to plug one thing for you guys, like the bucket list book launch that's happening in Disney, right? Disney Springs, October 11th, right?
That is, we're Walt Disney World there at Disney Springs, October 11th. We'll be launching. We created a kids book together, yeah, with National Geographic and Disney. And
so cool. Yeah,
thanks for mentioning that.
So yeah, cool. Okay, how do people absolutely find more information about that? Like if they want to have an early access to it or to be more involved with that?
Most everything. If you go and find the Bucket List Family on Instagram, that's where we share all of our links and events and everything coming up. So we'd cool appreciate that.
Okay, Jimmer, I'm going to throw in one more bonus question. I've been wanting to ask this the whole time since Garrett brought up the fact that he was in Walmart of all places when he was solidifying his first big deal. Did you buy anything at Walmart that day, Garrett?
No. That's funny. I don't think anyone's ever asked me that question. No, I don't think I bought anything or ate anything that entire week. Like that was a very traumatic, like sickening, like it was tough. It was tough on my soul.
Yeah.
And it was a lot.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm fascinated that it was in that place of all, yeah, places where that's all going down. Needless to say, we're super thrilled for all of your success. And, you know, I hope you feel like we are fans of yours, because we definitely are, not just as people and the Bucket List Fam, but as two elite athletes. And it is both of you, okay? Elite athletes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
We appreciate you guys. Thank you so much for coming on.
We got to also say we're very grateful. We've been long time, you know, friends, but also huge fans of all that you do, not just in the world of sports, but also just putting goodness out there. We really respect it. You guys have wonderful families.
Oh, you got it. Okay. We love the Bucket List Family, Garrett and Jessica G on from the logo. Fantastic stuff. Thanks again.
Thanks, guys.
What a fantastic conversation. I know I've said it like 17 times, but the Bucket List Family absolutely delivered today. Yeah. As a reminder, if you'd like to submit questions for Jimmer, for me, or our guests on the next show, it's really simple. Follow us on all of our social medias at JimmerFTL. You can send us those questions using the hashtag OpenJimFTL or just post in our YouTube comments. Okay, after the break, can you foul out in 3x3? The burning question for GM Jimmer, and which team won a big event? We'll tell you when From the Logo with Jimmer Fredette continues.
If you or your business are looking to reach a wide audience, From the Logo with Jimmer Fredette will help you reach your goals. Whether you're interested in title sponsorship, segment sponsorship, or product placement on the podcast, email us at jimmerftl@gmail.com and let us help you shoot your shot.
From the logo now moves into the final quarter. Our USA Basketball 3x3 update is upon us. GM Jimmer has the hat on. He's ready to go. By the way, are you backwards hat guy all the time, or are you forwards hat guy?
My wife likes it backwards most of the time, so I go with what the wife says.
And that is the correct answer, Jimmer.
100%.
I knew you're smart, bro. That might be the smartest thing that you've ever conveyed on this podcast.
Street smarts, not school smarts. Let's put it that way.
Fair enough. Hey, I'm getting off topic. Bring it back, Spencer. We are on the Drive to Gold in 2028 with Team USA 3x3 Basketball. And Jimmer has your weekly update and your weekly rule of the 3x3 game. So, GM Jimmer, where does it begin today?
We begin today with a victory for Team Miami out there in Shanghai, my second hometown. Let's go, Team Miami. Got a big Masters level win. Biggest tournament you can be in. They went out there, did their thing. They've been second in the last couple, like we talked about. They went out there and won it. And it was just awesome to watch. Just loved it. And they are on a roll. They're playing good basketball at the end of the season, exactly where they need to be. So I am just pumped for our guys. Got over the hump. That's their second Masters win they've won this year, actually, which is awesome. They're second in the world right now. They moved themselves up to second in the world behind Oob, obviously the Serbia team, but they are not. So give it up for Team Miami. So that's where we start. We're going to talk now about the rule of the week. We're going to talk about the foul counts.
Okay.
This is interesting, right? Like, obviously, in 5-on-5 basketball, in regular, you know, college, high school, you get 5 fouls. Internationally, you get 5 fouls, you're out of the game. NBA, you get 6 fouls, you're out of the game. In 3x3 basketball, they actually do not have individual fouls. You, as an individual, you can foul as much as you want. It does not matter who gets the fouls. And most of the time, it is one guy that's just hacking out there, right? Yes. That's just how it kind of works. You always have that one.
The enforcer.
Yes, exactly. You always have that one or two guys. But they do have team fouls. So this is the rule. Once you get to 7 team fouls, every foul that you commit, the other team shoots 2 free throws, no matter what. So that's a big advantage, right? Even if it's an off-ball foul, if they're not shooting, whatever it is, if they commit a foul, they shoot 2 free throws. So you have to be careful, right? You got to be careful and not get to that 7 fouls. That could be, you know, that can handicap you some, especially if you're down or if it's the end of the game. Once you get to 10 fouls, so it keeps going up. Once you get to 10 fouls, it's actually 2 foul shots and you get the ball back.
Oh, snap.
So literally, if you get to 10 fouls, you are basically losing the game.
Yes. Stop fouling.
You can't foul after 10 fouls. So that's how they regulate the fouls, which is interesting. The thing that happens is a lot of the teams that are, you know, more veteran, they go in and they're really aggressive early, because they want to see what they can get away with early. So if they're not calling fouls early, they're going to keep being aggressive until, until they start calling it. And if they are calling it a little bit ticky-tack early and they do it, then they know that and they can scale it back. So there's always that little trick that goes on, in the 3x3 basketball. So that's the rule of the day. Don't get to 7 fouls. Definitely go get to 10 fouls. If you do, you're pretty much lost.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, the game's over. Who's foul? 10 fouls?
Oh, like, it happens a lot. Happens a lot more than you think, Spence.
Garbage.
A lot more than you think.
It's garbage basketball, Jimmer. But I appreciate the insight. Oh, what a fun episode, man. Great stuff. Well done. Any final thoughts before we say goodbye?
Thanks to the Bucket List family. Just awesome. They have so many great stories. We love all of you that have subscribed and listened to our show and comment. Continue to do that. We love it. We'll make sure to try to, you know, get those comments back to you as well. If you comment with us, we're going to try to engage with our audience. So thank you so much. And Bucket List family, keep on moving on.
Yes. Outstanding. Also, if you'd like to add additional comments about when Jimmer should take down his Christmas decorations, if it is into March or mid-February, you can also let us know as a precursor to a conversation we will continue. Jimmer, good to be with you, brother. Thanks for the time, as always.
Let's go from the logo, baby.
A reminder to shoot your shot. We'll see you next episode.